Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
I want to go to my first caller of the day because I would say this is a step in the right direction. It's not enough, but it's definitely a step. So let me ask you, what do you think Colm Meaney, Jose Mourinho and Love Island's Chris Hughes, what have they all got in common? Do you know? Have a little think about it. Well, they have all recently worked promoting gambling companies, but from October, that will no longer be allowed. Well, not in the UK at least. Just over a year ago, I chatted to a poet and recovering gambling addict, Owen Coyne, about overcoming his addiction. And he's on the line now to talk a bit about how adverts can affect addicts and be so triggering. He's on the line. Hiya, Owen. How's it going?
How's it going, Jen? Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for doing this. So the UK's Committee for Advertising Practice says anyone with a strong appeal for young people must not appear in gambling adverts. What do you think of that move?
Yeah, as you said, Jen, it's definitely a step in the right direction. For me, it probably just doesn't go far enough. You know, I think like, any form of gambling advertising for young people is damaging. Mm. Young people are very impressionable, especially you mentioned Jose Mourinho there, like a big name in soccer. And like the lines between sport and gambling are so blurred now, you don't know where one ends and one begins, you know?
It's crazy when you think about it. A recent survey showed that 700 gambling logos appeared on the advertising boards during an English Premier League match. That it must be so dangerous. Can you explain to people why that is?
Okay, so the best way I think to explain it is if you saw 700 logos of the two golden arches of McDonald's, if you saw that 700 times in 90 minutes, then I bet you're going to go and buy a Big Mac. Like, because, and I think that's kind of the best way to describe it. If it's kind of subliminally shown to you that many times, then it's going to sink in, especially for people who are impressionable, say people who are susceptible to falling into addiction, young people, again, as I said, who associate gambling with sport now, every single sport, not just your traditional horse racing or dog racing, it's every sport. And like there are loads of studies that have shown that like advertising and gambling does lead to more people getting involved. And like the gambling companies are very clever, they hire the best people to market their product. And like with the use of social media and targeted advertising, they just know how to get people in. And the more people they get in, the more people are going to fall into addiction.
Would you say that you are sometimes triggered by gambling ads yourself?
Yeah, I suppose at the moment, very rarely. Thankfully, I've been in recovery for 8 years now. But recently, funnily enough, I sat down to watch some soccer on a Saturday afternoon. Going through the Soccer Saturday fixtures with Jeff Stelling and all, Matt Letizia and all these guys. And I got a mad notion to put on a pretty large bet. Went through the whole process of going to the bank machine, how I'd take out the money. Like, this is all in my head now. You know, I didn't physically do this. But, you know, I went through the motions of how I was going to do that, the excuse I was going to use to get out of the house, where I was going to go place the bet so I wouldn't be seen, all of these kind of steps, which are like, I suppose, that's typical for someone with an addiction to do. But thankfully, I didn't go through with that process.
What stopped you then?
I suppose I just have that awareness now, Jen,
yeah,
you know, from
after
being so
8 years, yeah.
And like, thankfully, you know, I thought about it. I felt shameful and I felt guilty for a few minutes. And then I just called my wife and I explained to her the notion that I had. And, you know, I thought by talking out loud about it, that that was a huge help, you know. And I've always found that that has been a huge help. And,
well done.
You know, it kind of, you know what it did? It kind of made me realise the irrationality of it. And
but you now have the tools, because you sought help, but you now have the tools to
Absolutely, I'm very lucky that I have those tools. And like, you know, they don't, I suppose, come easy. You have to do the work, you know, be it through gambling therapy or whatever, AA, you know, Gamblers Anonymous for some people. But yeah, so like they are triggering for me, who is 8 years down the line. But like, you know, I worry for people who are in early recovery, you know, that these triggers are so prevalent. They're always, you're constantly hit with them. And like a lot of gamblers are into sport. That's, you know, a lot of people in recovery are into sport. And, you know, that might be their relief. You know, and a bit of downtime, but when they're constantly barraged by gambling ads, it's very difficult to break away from that.
Especially then when you have, I suppose for young kids as well or whatever, or you know, you have some of their heroes on these ads. Ex-England footballer and addict Paul Merson recently said it sickens him to see former players and managers on gambling ads. How do you feel about that whole celebrity aspect of it?
Yeah, I agree with Paul Merson 100%. He did a fantastic documentary on the BBC going back a couple of months ago about his own struggles with gambling. And like, as I said, I have to agree with him. For young people who, as I said, are so impressionable, I don't mean to sound like Head and Lovejoy from the Simpsons, somebody please think of the children. But in fairness, like, they've grown up, like, over the last 15 years, gambling advertising in sport has absolutely exploded. So they don't, like, they've always seen football shirts with the logos of gambling companies on them. It's normalised now, you know. And
it shouldn't, like, be normalised.
Absolutely not.
That's the thing. It should not be normalised. I mean, they've tried a few things like getting rid of gambling logos on kids' replica shirts and a whistle-twistle adverts ban. But how effective is that? I mean, the Labour Party are calling for a total ban on gambling ads. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the football shirt on young kids, or the logo on young kids' football shirts is definitely welcome. The whistle-to-whistle ban is complete tokenism.
Yeah.
It's effectively stopping gambling adverts at half-time in a match. But as you said, there was a soccer match recently with 700 product placements.
Mm-hmm. 700,
like
in one match, it's unbelievable, you know? when you break it down and look at that, and you look at the stats. So, you say the putting the ads, banning the ads in between the match, it's not as effective because they're seeping in other ways. So, a complete ban, do you think, on all the logos, on all the advertising?
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, we know it's harmful. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean,
why
like,
not?
What, like, and I think there's the acknowledgement that it is harmful by bringing in these steps, like stopping adverts on kids' shirts and stopping having your whistle to whistle bans and stopping celebrities from advertising gambling. So we know it's harmful. So let's stop with the tokenism. I have absolutely no problem with people having a bet. Absolutely no problem. If people want to have a bet, that's fine. But there shouldn't be I suppose there should be an onus on gambling companies and on the legislators in our country and in the UK to protect people. You know what I mean?
And prevent as well, I would say. It's not just,
absolutely.
We've spoken to people. I mean, the rehab centres and beds are to the max with gamblers in there as well. And it's a huge problem. But it's about nipping the problem getting it at the very, very start. And, you know, not normalising gambling and, you know, preventing these young adults or children who are underage maybe getting addicted. And then
absolutely,
hopefully that will break the cycle. What can I ask you, what's the GAA's attitude to gambling adverts and sponsorship?
So about a year or two ago, the GAA brought in a gambling policy where they don't accept any sponsorship from gambling companies. I suppose it's a member-centred approach to it. You know, they set out maybe two or three guidelines where, you know, it's about the importance of the health and well-being of its members, not to accept money from gambling, no gambling allowed on sites, like, say, at a local stadium or whatever like that, which is in stark contrast to, say, going to Craven Cottage or Loftus Road in the UK, where they have bookie shops in the stadium. Mm. So I suppose that's a welcome move. And, you know, that didn't happen overnight either. Like, if you go back to about 20 years ago, there were a couple of players that played in the match with Paddy Power written on their hurley. Go forward now to today, you've had an awful lot of well-known GAA players who've come out and spoke about their own problems with gambling addiction. You know, Oisín McConville, probably the most well-known there. And I suppose their work has been fantastic in raising awareness as to the damages that gambling can cause. And I suppose it comes down to education, really. You talk about young people and preventing them from getting into addiction. We need to educate. We need to get people. We need to get, say, trained professionals like gambling addiction counsellors into schools, talking about the harms that are associated with gambling. And then as people get older, they reach the age where they're allowed to gamble, they can make informed decisions whether or not they want to gamble without being constantly barraged with gambling ads every 15 minutes on the television.
Well, every 15 minutes. And it's like you can't escape them because now they're on your phone and social media. It's just... must be very hard to be in recovery. I mean, that must be a really, really difficult thing anyway. But, I mean, they don't make it easy for you.
No, absolutely not. No.
They make it even harder.
They do. And I suppose, like, you have, as you said, social media, like, you have targeted adverts with social media. So, like, anybody who may, like, watch a horse race or a football match on their phone or check like soccer scores, they're going to be hit with gambling ads because that's the way of the world now. And that's the way
that
technology
is shameful.
Works.
That is shameful, though, when you think about it like that, you know. But listen, come here. The last time we spoke, you were writing poetry as part of your recovery.
Yeah.
Are you still at it?
Yeah, still at it. Still at it. It's going well. We did a new addition to the family there about 6 months ago. So
congratulations.
Thanks very much. We haven't had a huge amount of time to spend on the poetry. But I suppose, yeah, there's been a couple of poems done in the last few weeks. I'm hoping to get a couple on Spotify over the next few months, working with a couple of guys here locally. And some gigs coming up in the summer as well. I'm going to the Summer in the City Festival down in Waterford City. Hoping to perform there. So, yeah, it's going pretty well. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it's great to hear you're doing so well, and so proud of you for being able to use those tools the other day and not place that bet and speak to your missus and be able to stop yourself. I mean, that's a huge achievement.
Yeah, thanks very much. But, like, I suppose that's the message to put out to people who may be in addiction, just to talk to somebody that they trust.
Yeah,
that's the first huge step. You know, if they don't have somebody that they can trust, there are people available online. Just look up Problem Gambling Ireland, they'll find an outlet. But the most important thing is taking that first step to reach out to somebody. It's always support. Anytime I spoke about gambling, be it in the media or the first time I ever spoke to a loved one about my gambling problem, all I got was love. And that's been the experience for anybody else I've spoken to who's been affected by gambling addiction. There's always support. There's never judgment. There's never You know, you're never made to feel ashamed or guilty or anything like that, you know, which is great.
Owen Coyne, thank you so much for joining us again, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Great, Jen. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Owen. Bye. There we go. What do you guys think? Should celebs be allowed to appear in gambling ads? Is that enough? Should they just be banned completely? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me 51552. And as Owen mentioned, Problem Gambling Ireland. If you need to get in touch with someone, there is a very good website to start with.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.